Everyone? Okay, so nice to see all of you. Yes, so can we fill in the seats? Come, come in the front. Yeah. Oh, you must be thinking, oh, again she's come to tell us. Come in the front. Okay. So, as we all know that we are doing a decision, you know, a godly decision making series. And last Sunday, we did, we learned, like, you know, how God enables us to make decisions and how many times, like, you know, a group of people or a set of people have made decisions, good decisions, bad decisions. But if it is in line with the with God's way of doing it, if it is in God's will, like, you know, the decisions have been, you know, accomplished. It has profited everybody. So last time we mostly heard about which character in the Bible? Those who were present? Anybody from the Old Testament? Correct, correct. Naomi, right? We learned about how Naomi made decisions in such a way that, you know, initially when she went, she had in mind that, you know, it is about the drought and everything. But when she came back to her land, she came to know that, okay, yeah, this is God's decision for me. So last Sunday, I'll just do a quick recap so that we can, you know, connect with it today. So we did say that whenever we are taking a decision, we need to pray and we ask God for wisdom, right? Then we seek counsel of godly people. We seek counsel whom we know that, okay, yeah, they will tell me the truth, not something that will please me or something which is good to hear, right? So we will seek counsel with people who will lead me to the right path. Then don't isolate yourself. That is me, myself, I will decide. I know what it is. So let's not isolate ourselves. Trust the Lord. Commitment to follow God's plan for our life. Let's control our emotions when we take decisions, because emotions are very short-lived, right? And we need to kind of build on it and say, no, I am not going to make emotional decisions, but I'm going to make godly decisions and logical decisions. Then we did God's promises. Hold on to His promises. Many times they said, like, you know, to the Israelites, God said, you will go to the promised land. Although the promises that He made didn't seem like, oh, where is the promised land? We have to eat manna. We have to live in tents. Where is the promised land? But hold on to your promises that God has given to you. Then finally, we heard that we need to be willing to admit our mistakes and then re-look into our decisions. Re-look as to what we are going to work on. And then, you know, so that was last week. Okay, now this week, we will hear about making decisions as an individual. Now, decisions, so every day we make, right? We make decisions about which clothes to wear, what to eat, where to go. But today here we are talking about not physical decisions but godly decisions, which will impact not only our present but also our future and eternity, right? So whatever decisions we make now on earth, okay, it is going to not only affect us now on earth but eternally, right? So there is a story told about a president, former president, President Ronald Reagan. So he had an aunt who took him to a cobbler, okay, for a pair of new shoes. So the cobbler asked Reagan, do you want square toes or you want round toes? Okay, so unable to decide, Reagan didn't answer. So that time he was not the president, okay, he was just a common man like all of us. So he was not able to decide, so he didn't answer. So the cobbler said, I'll give you a few days. You decide and tell me you want square toes or you want round toes. Okay. So several days later, the cobbler saw Reagan on the street and asked him again what kind of toes he wanted on his shoes. Regan still couldn't decide. So the shoemaker replied, "Well, come by in a couple of days. Your shoes will be ready." So he didn't answer, but he said, "Your shoes will be ready. You come." When the future president did so, he found one square-toed and one round-toed shoe. So one leg was square and one leg was round. This will teach you to never let people make decisions for you. Okay? Because eventually he said, "You come. You are not able to decide. I will decide for you." So the cobbler said to his indecisive customer, "I learned right then and there," Regan said later, "if you don't make your own decisions, someone else will." Okay. So this is like one very impacting story that even I read. I said, yeah, you know, sometimes we dilly-dally and we say, okay, I don't want to take the decision now. Jaisa hota hai, hone do. Go with the flow. Right. But it is not like that. What happens when we go with the flow is we are not making godly decisions. We are allowing other people to make decisions for our life, and then it is going to impact, as I said, eternity, not only our earthly setup. So, in the Bible also it says, renewed and transformed. Okay, that means whenever I take a decision, I do not conform to this world, but transform by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Right? So we do take decisions which is good and which is approved by God and which is acceptable and perfect. So how do we understand this? How do we know what is God's will and how do we take decisions? Right? So it is not as easy as selecting your clothes, what to wear, and it's not. Sometimes there are tough decisions to make. So how do we do it? Especially when there are situations which makes us think about it, impossible to make decisions. So we will look at somebody like that from the Bible. So I will be basing my points mostly on this character and how he took decisions and what made him, you know, prosper and become a person who eventually saw even the future of what is going to happen. He saw God and he saw God seated on the heavenly throne. So that means he was so connected to God. So who is this person? None other than Daniel. Right? So in Daniel 1 itself, it is very clearly mentioned how he used to take his decisions. And he was very, he was very clear about what he wanted and what he can let go. So it was not like, oh, every time I'm a Jew, I'm doing this. No. But he knew his boundaries. He knew his limitations. And accordingly, he took his decision. So let's read from Daniel 1. If you have your Bibles, you can read. Sharon, you want to read? Daniel 1.
Unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim king of Judah into his hand with part of vessels of house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of the God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princesses, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding signs, and such had ability to in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of eunuchs gave names, for he gave name Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are not of your sort? Then shall he make me endangered by my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the children that eat of the portion of king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in his manner, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of king's meat. Thus Melchior took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among all them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus.
Right. So just a gist of it. So Daniel was from Judah. And what happened was, the place was attacked by Babylonians. And then, you know, along with Daniel, there were a few other people who were taken captive. Now, when you are a captive, you have to do whatever the king who has captured you, right? You have to do whatever he says. So he was chosen. Daniel and his four friends were chosen. And they were given treatment by the king itself, given food and, you know, training, and literature was taught to them so that they become advisors and, you know, they can be in the king's court. Eventually, Daniel did learn the language. Daniel did do everything that they said. But there was one thing that Daniel didn't do. He said, I will not eat of the food that is given to me by these people. Because in the Jewish law, it is said that, you know, there are certain foods that they're not supposed to eat. Okay. And also there are certain food which they have to eat after draining the blood of the animal. So he was not sure how they must be making it and what is it about. So he didn't want to take that risk. And he told the person, the advisor who was there then, the chief official, that I will not be eating of this. So he said, how can that be? Like, you know, you have to eat whatever the king, and in fact, it is from the king's table. That means it's a royal food. So you have to eat. So what did he do? He said, you test me for 10 days. And if you see there's something wrong with me and my, you know, friends, then we will start eating whatever you give me. And in the process, we saw that within 10 days, the chief official saw that their faces were brightened up. They were more intellectual and more, you know. So eventually we saw that, you know, so then the chief official started giving that food to everybody. Okay, so everybody was influenced. Now, whose decision was it to eat vegetables and water? Daniel. One person decided that I am going to eat vegetables and water. Right? So, let's look at it. Okay, the situation. Okay, what is the situation? In the 30 of the region of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands along with some of the articles from the temple of God. So the situation is that they are completely defeated. Now, as a person who is defeated, who is in a bad situation, do I even have a say? What do you think? My situation is bad. There is no money at home. There is no job. There is nothing. Do I even have a say? Can I even decide that no, I will not eat of this food? What we generally do is, we'll say, whatever, jo mil raha hai, kha lenge. Doesn't matter. I have come from this place. But look at this situation. Like, you know, both all Daniel and his friends, they decided that we are not going to disobey God, even though my situation is really, really pathetic. Okay. So many times we look at the situation and then we take our decisions. We say, oh, the situation is not allowing me. I cannot do this. The situation is not allowing me. So I cannot go ahead with this. Right. So many times we look at the situation and we decide. We do not decide on the basis of what the scripture is telling, on the basis of what God wants me to do here. This is not valid. This is illegal. I cannot go ahead with this. But still I will go ahead because the situation is not allowing me. I am helpless. You know, many times we have that behavior of, you know, that helpless attitude, helplessness that comes into us and says, I am helpless. But we see that eventually Daniel goes ahead with a radical decision. Okay, what did Daniel say? Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Means he took a decision not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. So what he does is, it's not like he takes the decision on his own. He's not eating by himself. But he goes ahead. He says, let me take this chance. Probably he might have prayed, because as we see ahead in these chapters, Daniel used to pray 3 times in a day. And he always, irrespective of where he is to just go to his room and he used to pray. Probably Daniel prayed before he actually went to the chief official and said, this is what my plan is. This is what I am planning to eat. So whenever we make a radical decision, it is not that because we have, like, you know, a lot of energy or a lot of creativity, or we trust, like, you know, ourselves or our, this thing, situation is bad. But let me try this. Let me go ahead and talk to the person in charge. Or let me, you know, so take some practical way where we can actually at least ask permission, and then later God will give us a favor. So eventually it says that God's favor was with Daniel. As soon as he asked, he says, okay. So there is a risk involved. Okay. Now many times, whenever we take risk decisions, it says, you know what, the risk was, but the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my Lord the King, who has assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you. Who is going to die because of Daniel's decision? The chief official, okay. But still, Daniel any which ways decides that I am going to do what is right. So, see, when we spoke about last week, when we say emotional decisions, this is how emotional decisions are made. You know, in our family, we don't want to hurt them, right? We don't want them to be beheaded. So we say, "Theek hai, let me go ahead with this kind of a decision." But what did he do? He said, "Theek hai, you are responsible for me. I take the responsibility for 10 days. You try it out for 10 days. If not, then..." So it was a win-win situation. Okay, fine. You know, you get to try it out. At the same time, many times we don't look at the aspect of faith building in the other person. So how does that happen is, for example, other person will be beheaded if the plan doesn't work, correct? If the decision that I made doesn't work out, then the other person will be beheaded. I will also be thrown into the dungeons. But what happens if the plan works? What happens if God shows the favor? Have we ever thought about that? Okay, so whenever we have taken a decision, like, how will I say? On the other hand, if Daniel succeeds, he will win over and the other person will believe in God. Right, so many times we take decision thinking, "Arey, should not hurt the other person." But what we forget is that God is more powerful than people in our lives. And God can turn it around in such a way that the other person might just come to know the Lord or come to know about His faithfulness, His power, just because we took a stand of faith. So many times these decisions that involves risks are mostly taken when family is involved, right? So whenever it comes to family, we don't take a risky decision because we don't want to hurt them. But God says, go ahead, move ahead, because I will teach your family through you to take that step of faith. And eventually they will see that, wow, this person has taken the risk. So can we tell our neighbor, I'm going to take a risk? Yes. So now you have said it, you have to take a risk. Okay. So what happens is that when we take the risk, God is, you know, God is urged to move for on our behalf, saying that, oh, this person has shown so much of faith in me, has taken that risk. Why should I put him in trouble? Na? So let me go ahead and bless him. So God also sees that. Then, faith in God and his word, right? So what happens is, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then he says, he challenges the official, saying that, then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. See, it's not like Daniel was, he was always having a friction with whatever they were telling him. He wanted to obey God. Okay, he was submitting to everything. If you see, he changed his name. Correct? He changed his name because they wanted to give him a Babylonian name. That means if a name is changed, that means your identity is also changed. Generally, people say, na, mera naam badal gaya, means mera identity badal gaya. Like, you know, so the identity has changed. He ate with them. He never said, no, I will not eat with you. Although he said that this is what. So he ate. It's not like Daniel was opposing everything that they said. But there was a certain thing that he had to take a stand. He was ready to learn their language also. He was ready to take on the literature that they were teaching. So all that he did. But however, when it came to something that couldn't be compromised, right? So there are certain things we can go ahead. Maybe in our workplaces, maybe in our family situation, we can go ahead. We don't have, it is not a, like, you know, it will not hurt God. But there are certain things which hurts God, and we compromise on that. That is when it is not the right decision. So when we compromise on godly values, that is when it is not the right step. So it says he did not defile himself with the food that was given to them. It was against God's law to eat meat which is not drained of blood, as I said earlier. And we don't know which type of meat they're using. So Daniel was very clear that he did not want to displease God. So my intention is to not displease God. And he was right. By initiating this, God also showed favor upon him and on his decision. Now, how does faith in God and his word come in? Who told Daniel that not to eat of the meat? Who told Daniel? Holy Spirit, very good. Because he was away from home. He was not even in Judah. He was in Babylon. Okay, so Holy Spirit told. Anything else that you think? Commandments, laws were in his heart. His relationship with God. Excellent. So, maybe he did not have his Torah with him. He did not have, probably, because see, if we go on to the history, they were just taken captives. So we don't know whether he got the time to pack up his Bible or whatever, whatever. But whatever he had learnt in his land or parents have taught him, he stuck on to that. And he said, I cannot compromise on my values and my decision and on what God has asked me to do. Right? So that is how his faith in God and the word is seen in this decision making. Right? Then, whenever we take a decision, we need to act in wisdom. Okay, what do you mean by act in wisdom? Means that you reason out. So he did not force the chief official. He did not say that, okay, yehi khana hai mujhe, my God has told me this. So he did not get into an argument. But he said, let's try for 10 days. Okay, so probably, maybe we are in a decision-making process. Many times we find whenever after doing the foundation course that many people are in a dilemma of taking baptism, right? So what is it about? So it maybe we need to act in wisdom. Okay, my parents are not agreeing. My spouse is not agreeing. So what is the next alternative? Should I just leave it? No. So what do? I reason out. I act out wisely and say, okay, fine, let's give it some time. Let's give some opportunity for them also to analyze, to know what is right, what is wrong, how. And in the process, I need to show my character. They should not say, "Arey, ye Bible padke bhi aise hi hai." Same person, even after reading the Bible. It's not like that. If they see a change in me, probably they will see that, yes, there is wisdom in this person. There's some change in this person. Let's go ahead with their decision, right? So when we have to take an individual decision, we act out, we reason out. In Philippians 4, 6 to 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So who will guard our hearts and minds? Who will guard? God. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts, right? The peace of God will guard our hearts. So when we have a decision-making process, let us not be anxious. Arey, ab kya hoga? I have taken this decision. Will they agree? Will they not agree? Will I be able to do it? I will not be able to do it. But let's just say that, okay, the peace of God will enable me to move ahead. Just like Daniel said, okay, let's give it 10 days. Now, there are some decisions which, you know, there are some tough decisions that we make. Right? In Philippians 1:20-21, it says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I think that is what Daniel was also thinking. Whether I live or whether I die, whether after taking this decision, if they slaughter me or, you know, behead me also, it's okay. Because for me, it is both win-win only. If I live, I will live the right way. If I die, I will die for Christ. I will die for God. So that is what the tough decisions without excuses. Many times we have 1,001 excuses as to why we were not able to follow what is right. Maybe it was a pressure. Okay, I'll come to that. Or, you know, but it takes only one strong act of faith to follow the word or take a godly decision. Daniel could have said, I am at the mercy of these guys. How can I even present my request? But instead, he said, there's nothing to lose. If I get the approval, I win. If I don't get the approval, I die. A martyr's life, right? So it is both a win-win situation for him. So we need to be channelized in the word of God. Okay, we need to be engraved. We need to have the word of God engraved in our heart so that no matter where we are or which situation we are, the word of God comes to life in us and enables us to take the right decision. And we won't have to make excuses, right? So, next. Saying yes for the right thing. As I said initially, he did not say, no for everything. But he did say yes to all the right things, right? And he said yes to learning the language or anything. But he, in 2 Corinthians 1:17-19, it says, was I fickle when I intended to do this, or do I make plans in a worldly manner, so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. So can we say in Jesus Christ is always yes? Yeah. So you can tell your neighbor, it is always yes in Jesus Christ. Yes. Okay. What do I mean by yes is because, as I said earlier, it is always in our favor. God looks at our heart and says, okay, this person is trying. He's trying to take this decision, and he has or she has taken this decision for my sake. And it is a yes from Jesus. And we are going to prosper in that. So, He knew what God would be pleased with. So he took the initiative. He took the first step. He did not wait till the food came on the table. He said, no, I'm going to tell them beforehand that I'm not going to eat this. So he did not wait. So many times we say, aane do, dekha jayega, baad mein dekha jayega. But it's not like that. We should be able to plan it ahead. Otherwise, we will never be able to take the right decision. Then, he also had the right company of people. Means, although when I'm taking people captive, there might be thousands of people who came in captivity. But when you see, read this passage, who are the four people that is mentioned in this passage? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? Only four. So, that means only four people understood what the law said. Is that so? No. Probably, others just compromised. They said, theek hai, khane ko to mil raha hai na? Like, I'm getting to eat. What is there? Let me just go ahead with whatever it is. The right company of people matters. Although it is only four, we need to kind of understand what God is looking at. Look at the few godly people around you. Can you think of right now of at least two godly people around you who will tell you the truth? Yes, if yes, thumbs up. Yes, so see, when I say truth, not everybody can come to your mind, okay? Because they are just like, you know, your friendly people. They'll tell you because you like to hear things, okay? Haan, theek hai, let me just say this. But there are only few who will tell you the truth, and it will hurt you also. Sometimes you may cry also. Sometimes you may dislike them also. But eventually you will go back to them because they have told you the truth. Okay, so this Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were like that. Okay, they also stood by Daniel and said, we will also not eat. Okay, so these are the few people. And Daniel also, if you see eventually in other chapters, we see that Daniel, these guys also went into the fire, blazing furnace because of the decisions that they have made. But again, God, honored their decision and said, no, I'm not allowing them to burn. Like that, right? So the right company of people really matter. Okay, who is that right person whom I can go to? Now all this, I know that this is how it will help me to take the right decision, right? So what are the things, 7-8 things that we said? One is the situation. So don't take decisions based on your situation. Don't then, what did we say? Just a quick recap. Risk is involved, very good. Yes, so it says risk is involved, take a radical decision. So decisions are not always going to be the same as I took 10 years ago. Maybe now God is asking you, chalo chalo, move to the next level. So it is going to be a radical decision. Risk is going to be involved. Faith in God and in His Word means I need to know more about what God has, spoken in the Word so that I will take that risk. Okay, so wisdom comes from the word of God. I need to act in wisdom. I need to take. I will not make excuses for tough decisions, right? And saying yes for the right things and no for the not right things. Okay, and I need to be in the company of the right people. Now, all this I know. Okay, probably you might already know about all this. But what is the obstacles to godly decisions? You know, there are some obstacles that we have. Generally, whenever some accident happens, for example, in the home, suppose a water falls, glass of water falls, we generally find somebody to blame it on, right? Say, iske wajah se. Why did you keep the glass like that? I also saw, right? The glass was kept like this. I did not pick it up. But we generally blame the situation, blame I could not do this. So if I failed in an interview, I will say, oh, because of this person only, I failed because on time they did not give me breakfast, in time they did not give me clothes to wear or whatever. Okay, so generally we find obstacles to godly decisions because I generally find things to blame rather than reflecting on why, what went wrong and how I can improve on this next time rather than blaming on the situation. So reflection is the opposite of blaming. Rather than saying this thing happened, that thing happened, I will. Then this attitude of go with the flow. As long as it is stretching, let me stretch. As long as it is going, let me, you know, go ahead with it. Take the decision, because probably God will turn around the situation for you, for all you know. So let's not go with the flow attitude. Okay, and let's not rely on humanly wisdom. Humanly wisdom is mostly like we calculate, we say, okay, this much budget for this, and this thing is here, and that thing. Generally, we plan, but for God, He's beyond all the humanly wisdom, right? So what happens is, generally, maybe Daniel might have thought, okay, my position will be at stake. Okay, that is humanly wisdom. But what was godly wisdom in this? That I need to take the decision for God. So that is godly wisdom. I need to ask Him in such a manner. So even when we ask people certain things, no, we need to ask in a certain manner which will not offend them. So many times we say, that person will say no only. Why? Why will that person say no? Because I'm not asked the way I'm supposed to ask. You know, so when he asked official also, he did not use his humanly wisdom. He used godly wisdom given to him, and then it was approved, right? So humanly wisdom, we need to kind of keep it aside, because generally humanly wisdom will not work when we have to take godly decisions. Fear and pressure. This is a very common terminology that we always use, saying that I was full of fear. What will happen if I take this decision? So much of pressure. You know, I'm the only person who can do this, and you know, there's so much of this, that, and you know, there are so many things that we have to take into account. But there is pressure. No, not it cannot be denied. But what the Word of God says, that we create pressure of fear on our own. Okay, how? You will ask how. The pressure is created when we want to please people more than God. If you analyze, why is the pressure created? Because I want that job desperately, right? I want that increment desperately. So who creates the pressure? Yeah. But when we rely on God, saying that the provision comes from God, do you think the pressure will lighten up a little bit? Yes. So who created the pressure? Me, myself. Okay. I need to be the perfect wife. I need to be the perfect father. I need to be the perfect husband. Who created the pressure? Me, na? I only have to be perfect. It's okay. Like, you know, sometimes I need to say that, God, help me here. I need to work it out in such a way that my family is happy. So when I use godly wisdom in this, my pressure is relieved. You know, I don't have to act. The Lord will enable me to act in the manner that is pleasing to Him. Now, the fear also, here it says that fear is created when we feel the other person is greater than God. Okay, so we take decisions based on pressure and fear. And fear is because when we feel the other person has the authority to change my designation. But it is not like that. Who has the power and authority to change my designation? God has, right? And He, first of all, we need to realize that God has given me this, wherever we are, the family, God has given me a job, God has given me the home, God has given me the life, the breath, right? And if I fear a man-made thing or humans, then I am actually minimizing God's ability to work in my life and saying that, oh, because of fear I took this decision. No, it is like, I need to rely completely on God and say that, Lord, help me. So God is sovereign. He is powerful. Can we tell the neighbor that God is sovereign? Yes. God is powerful. Can you tell your neighbor? Yes. When we read in the Bible, Daniel only says that when I heard God, He spoke in thunder and lightning. Means how powerful God is. If that God can create the universe, the world, can He not change people's heart? Can He not change the situation that we are in? Can He not do a miracle in our life? So that is the faith that we need to work with, rather than fear and pressure, right? I'm spending more time on this aspect is because we all face this, okay, including me. We all have faced this fear and pressure. And then human beings are fragile. One day they are there, one day they are not there. Tomorrow the person gets transferred, you are no more under them, right? So they cannot, so what happens is we feel that, oh, they will do this. Then what will happen? No. So God, as you claimed it yourself, God is powerful. God is superior. And we take decision based on what God wants us to do. So yes, it's all right to adjust. Okay, I'm not saying that, okay, you have to take decisions hurting the other person, just like, you know. But it's all right to adjust. It's all right to accommodate. But not at the cost of our values and principles. Right? Because that is what the Bible says. Because I will not adjust at the cost. So if somebody is asking me to bribe them, I will not do that. Because that's my decision to honor God through whatever, you know, He has told in the Word. Surround yourself with godly people who will stand with you. Share their experiences of a radical decision making. So many times we get encouraged. You know, many times we read missionary stories and the next moment we also want to be missionaries. Why is that so? Because we get encouraged by listening their stories, the way they took that step of faith, right? Similarly, if we are surrounded by people who will tell us their faith stories, their decision making, which pleased God, we will also take those steps of faith, right? So always surround yourself with people who will, like how Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were surrounded and surrounded Daniel. So share their experience of radical decision making. We take step for God. He takes a stand for us. Okay. If we take 1% of a step for God, He takes 100% for us. Right? So God showed favor on them. And they were, and if you read ahead, it says that, okay, it was Daniel's decision to eat vegetable and drink water. But eventually when he saw there was a difference, he said, all of you will have vegetable and, water. So that means we take a step for God and God changes the entire situation for us, you know, for on our favor. So maybe few of us are in the process of decision making. Now, I don't know what it could be. It could be marriage. Maybe you're looking for marriage. Okay, maybe proposals are coming, not coming. We don't know. Job change. Career decisions, maybe you're thinking this career, that career, job is changing, what is happening, I don't understand. Shifting to another place, transfer, no transfer, whether this Panvel is for me, Panvel is not for me, right? So there are a lot of decisions that we have to make. Choosing the right congregation, whether I've come here for the first time, should I come here again? I've come here for the third time, should I come here again? Should I check out the other congregations, right? So we have a lot of decisions to make, right? Whether I go to this hospital, that doctor will be good, not good. So these are some practical things. Like now I just gave you theory, but I'm coming to practicalities that we everyday face. Now, how do you make decisions in this when you have such things? Firstly, ask yourself, when I am looking for a marriage partner or if I'm changing a job, is God and godly values compromised in any of this? Is godly values compromised in any of this? Or is God compromised in any of this? If I am looking for a place to stay, is like, you know, how do I know godly values? Because is the church nearby or do I have to travel a long way to get a good, you know, growing church? Will it lead me to an upward direction from one trajectory to the next? Will it help me to grow spiritually? Right? So if I'm looking for a job, will it help me? If it's a night shift, day shift, I don't know. But whether I'll be able to grow in the Lord, whether I'll be able to attend many, you know, Bible studies or not. So think about these things whenever you're taking a decision. Did I consult my discipler? Do I tend to hear and obey what I like? Or I am okay to challenge my situation. So the discipler will challenge your situation. Say, don't worry, no need to change your job now. Then you'll say, but what about others they are doing? Wait, okay, maybe God is telling. Because you are growing here. So there are certain three crucial questions. Other questions you can ask yourself. And these three crucial questions you need to ask before you take a decision. Okay? Then, now you, some of us may be thinking, but there are, you don't understand, I've already taken a decision. And I am already in it. Okay? But God is saying it's never too late to take an about turn. Right? To revisit your decisions. It says, reconsider, rectify and restart. 3 R's. Can we tell your neighbor? Reconsider, rectify and restart. Yes. So means reconsider. You want to reconsider. Theek hai, galti ho gaya. Like, you know, I will do this again in a better manner. Rectify it and restart. God is not a God who is judging you or he will condemn you. Because again, the word of God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that you may like live and nobody will be condemned. Right? So he gave his son for you. So he will definitely consider and say, okay, my child, today you heard, let's just reconsider your decisions. Move in godly decisions. Right? So just like Jesus, he did just like how Daniel did. He blended with humanity. He went to the wedding of Cana. He did a lot of things with his disciples. He did fishing. He blended with humanity. Right? But he also left his heavenly throne. He took the risk. He became radical. He knew he was doing God's will. So there were certain things which Jesus did not approve of. And he was very outright about it. He was the only one who died on the cross, was put to shame, beaten because of his decisions. Right? So God, Jesus took this decision for us. He was only soul and whole person. And he is our ultimate hero. Amen? And we need to follow our hero. So let's follow the champion in our decision making. Right? So it wasn't easy for Jesus, because in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did Jesus say? Lord, if it is your will, please let this cup pass by. Means the decision was very tough for him. Very tough. The situation did not allow him. But he did that for us, saying, I want my children to know the Father. Right? And he did that to us. So maybe we are reconsidering. We have, you know, kind of messed up. Or maybe we are going to take decisions. Let's say, is it in line with godly values? Is it in line with what God wants me to do? Yeah? And is it taking me to the upward direction or I will be stagnant as always? Right? So let's just ask God, and I'll call upon Virgil to just pray for us.